Okay. I'm going to have Mr. Scholes, my dear friend, come up and he has something to share with you about this, about what we covered last week. We were talking about preparing the parent for the child, and we asked the question, or the questions, what are we doing? Where are we taking our children? What is that focus? And so we talked about that. We talked about having a proper perspective on the Lord and that He is the Almighty God, and that whole again passage about when Abraham met God again after 13 years of silence, and they had to put some things in perspective, and how he had a plan and it was the proper position. Then we talked about his heart, and we spent quite a little bit of time talking about the heart, about how we, as parents, we need to purge our heart, and we need to have a prepared heart, and then to protect our heart as we get ready to raise our children. But I did want to just real quickly remember as Abraham, he had went through those 13 years, and then God used him. So if I just want to reiterate tonight that if you're here or you know somebody and they are just burdened with life, and they feel like they've just failed completely, and that God has walked away from them, and they're thinking there's no way that God could ever use me again or even talk to me again, or you know, or they're just completely beat up by the world. God is still working in their life, and God will still use them. And so, because he came back to Abraham after 13 years and did an amazing miracle in his life. And so we'll, I just wanted to kind of reassure everybody that, because sometimes we just get down in our lives. It's like, man, I don't know, I've just failed God so bad. I don't think he can use me anymore, but he will. So what I want to do is Tyler is going to come up, and he's going to talk about his family and kind of what we went over last week, and then we'll jump into the next section for tonight.
Do that. Good evening, guys. If you got your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 23. Something not too long ago, I don't remember, in one of his sermons that really stuck with me and with my wife, and that comment was that as parents, we will have the most influence on our children, good or bad. Whether our children are homeschooled, whether they go to public schools, whether they're whatever it is they're doing, we will have the most influence on our children. By the way, many of you I don't know. My name's Tyler Scholes. This is my wife, Jennifer Scholes. We have four beautiful, healthy children. We have one in heaven. Our Owen is our oldest. He's 10 years old. And then we have Wyatt, who is 6. And then Miss Julia, the princess of the house, is 3 years old. And then we have a one-year-old baby boy named Dylan. So that's kind of how things roll out. Jen and I are both knocking on the door of 40, but we're not quite there yet. So at our home, at any given time, if you guys come over and visit us, you never know what might be behind the door. So please knock first, because things could get crazy and wild at any minute. We by no means, by the way, have this whole thing figured out. We're still learning how to be obedient to God and His Word and raise up our children and train them up in the way in which they should go. But at the end of the day, and I'm going to give the floor, by the way, to my wife mainly tonight. But by the way, they're His anyways. And we get an opportunity to be stewards of them for a very short period of time, because we have both young and old out here tonight, and we've heard time after time from the not so young that, hey, cherish these moments. They'll be gone in an instant. And boy, howdy, have we learned that. So it seemed like just the other day, Owen, we were taking Owen home from the hospital. Jennifer and I both were non-Christians when our oldest was born. I'm just going to kind of give you a background of where we're at. Jen and I both came to Christ after our oldest was born. And so for the most part, for lack of a better word, we are like a first-generation Christians in both of our families. We were not, Jen was churched, I was not. And so that's kind of how things rolled out in the Scholes home. But so anyways, let's look at Proverbs chapter 23. Let's look at verses 22 through 26. God's word says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." We were asked to answer a question. What is the destination for God's children and the plan to get them there? Well, obviously, our desire and our goal is to, number one, is to see our children come to know Christ personally, to buy the truth of God's word and live a life that is uncompromising, such as Daniel, that they would purpose in their hearts not to defile themselves with all the wickedness around us. And I think parents, grandparents, soon-to-be parents, I think from time to time we get overwhelmed. I've even heard people say, younger people that are contemplating the idea of having children, they say, I just don't know if I could bring a child into this world because of the wickedness that's all around. But if you really think about it, if you spend any time at all in God's word, wickedness and sin has been around since the age of time. A lot of times I think we feel as if, well, you know, it's just too overwhelming right now, or the odds are stacked against us as parents to raise up godly children. And I just want to encourage everyone that is a lie from the pit of hell, and it can be done. Jennifer and I both, we work in the youth. We work with the high schoolers specifically, and we've seen in the past years, in the short years that Jen and I have been in this ministry, we've seen some of the young people, even here at Heartland Baptist Fellowship, who have gone on, who have lived a life that was uncompromising, that they have followed Jesus Christ, their first love, and that they would not compromise that relationship. And it's really encouraging to us to see that in the times in which we live in. And please don't be discouraged by that. But if you do just like a quick word study, even in verse 23, it says, "Buy the truth." That word truth there means stability or trustworthiness. And my wife and I, our goal is for our home to be a place of stability and a place where our children feel as if Jen and I are trustworthy, that at any time in their life, or at any given moment in time, they can come to her, or they can come to I, or we go to them, and they're going to get the truth of God's word. Okay, and so we want them to buy into that, and not only buy into that, but to not sell out. You know, because of everything that's around them. Look, we can not only survive in the days in which we live as parents and as children, we can not only survive, but we can thrive. And it's ultimately our choice whether or not we want to do that. That's our number one goal, is for them to understand and know that our home is a place of stability and trustworthiness. And then it goes on to say also wisdom. And that word there means skillful. And so we want them to not only buy into the truth of God's word, but then teach them how to apply God's word to their life skillfully. And then it goes on to say instruction. That word there means chastisement, reproof, correction, and discipline. And so at our home, yes, we do have a wooden rod, and we use it. And as our children make mistakes, they disobey, they understand the consequences of that, or at least we explain to them why they are getting the rod on the backside. There's tears shed, often from both parties, but we try our best to, after that reproof or rebuke or chastisement comes, to sit down and explain to them, expound to them God's word and how God loves them, and how the only thing at the Scholes home that we allow hatred towards is sin, and what it's doing. You know, explaining to them, this is what your sin is doing to you, so that they have an understanding of that. And so then it goes on to say also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And that word means knowledge or meaning. So we want them to understand, or to have not only that knowledge, that intellectual knowledge, but have that right here in their heart. So how do we do these things? We want to see them and what we want to see in our children's lives. And then I'm going to give this to Jen, is we want to see them, number one, to obviously come to repentance and faith in Christ. We want to give them every opportunity along the way for them to see the face of God, not only here at Heartland Baptist Fellowship and in our home, but also abound. We want to be able to take them and include them in the ministry in which God has called us to. We want to take them to the mission field. Had an opportunity to go to Monmouth, Illinois this year, and I took Owen with me. Because I want him to not only see God's face here and in our home, but I want him to see him abroad. And so this, we're very pointed in the raising of our children, that we give them opportunity to get out on the mission field and to just to see God working outside of their comfort zone and outside of what they're normally used to. So we want them to come to repentance and faith. We want to we pray that we can help them find their identity in Christ, in the book of Ephesians, who they are in Christ, and understand that it doesn't matter. Everything else is irrelevant. They are a child of God. They are in Christ. Christ is in them. They are in Christ, and we want to help them to do that. And then thirdly, we want to, like I said before, encourage them to live a life that is uncompromising, such as Daniel did. And so that's really our goals. Within our house, like I said, we don't have it all figured out. We make mistakes along the way, but we want to be real with our children. We want to communicate with our children often and early. I grew up in a lost home, but there was one thing that I always remember from my childhood that I've definitely applied as a father, and that is an open line of communication with my children. We talk about things. As much as I want to put them in a bubble, I pray daily for balance, because this is hard, parents, is to get and maintain that balance that we need, of how much is too much to expose them to, and how much is too much to hold them back from, because and that is a difficult balance. And I tell you what helps a lot is for us to be able to sit down at a dinner table. The Arnolds are here tonight. We invited them over to our home. It it helps and it is very encouraging for us as a younger parents to reach out to you guys that are older parents, that are Christians, that have raised up your children, and ask questions. What worked? What didn't work? Do you got any advice? You know? And what's that? There you go. Right on. There you go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What's your name?
Phyllis.
Phyllis, you should come over and have supper with us sometime. We'll talk about some things. Right on. Thank you, Phyllis. All right. Well, I don't want to take any more of your time because Jen has something prepared that I want to give her ample time to share with you guys. So I'm going to have her come up and talk to you guys.
Okay, so he does this every week. I am a lot more apt to probably trip over my words and stumble all over myself up here than he is because he's so much more used to doing this than I am. Tyler shared with you guys really what our destination is for our kids and some of the things that we do in our house. And another of the things that Tom asked for is the plan. What is the plan? So I'm going to share with you guys what the plan is in our house from God's word as far as raising our children. These are obviously just all things that God has brought to us as parents and that we're implementing to get our children to that destination. Before we really look at the plan, there are some realizations that we had to come to. The first thing for me, which was a big thing, is the old saying that you can't fit a square peg in a round hole. And I'm stubborn. So I'd keep trying to shove that thing in there. But it doesn't work. And God had to really bring me to a place of recognizing each of my children for who they are. If we look in the scripture and we believe that God doesn't make mistakes, and we read in Psalms 139:14-17 that the psalmist is saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's true of my children. That's true of everyone in this room. That's true of all of your children, your grandchildren, those that you're discipling, anyone that you're transferring knowledge to. And we can't try and make a square peg a round peg. And we can't go into a relationship with our children or with anyone else trying to make them something that they're not, trying to conform them to our terms and trying to shape them to what we want them to be. We need to learn to understand that God made them exactly how they are and to really intimately get to know that so that we can minister to their hearts and lead them to the Lord as who they are, not as who we expect them or want them to be. So that was a big part of us implementing the plan, is recognizing that God didn't make any mistakes with our four kids who are like night and day, and that it's our responsibility to know their hearts and to be able to lead those hearts to the Lord just the way that they are. Secondly, something that Tyler touched on is recognizing that they're his first and that they're always his. And the example for me that always sticks out of this, and especially given our child that he mentioned that's in heaven, he's a Samuel. So I really relate to Hannah, because Hannah took her child Samuel and gave him back to the Lord. And we had to take our child Samuel and give him back to the Lord. Hannah had plans for that child, I'm sure. If you read the scripture, you see Penina, her nemesis, her husband's other wife, with her children. And you know that Hannah was watching those kids. And in her heart, she's making plans if she ever had her own. And she cries out to the Lord, for this child I have prayed, for a child to then turn around and give to him. And she had to let go of her own dreams in that. And that's a big part of implementing the plan, is sometimes we have to let go of our own dreams for our kids. And we have to recognize that they're his and allow God to take them where he will and support them in that however we can. We have one child that I'm sorry, I lost track of where I was. We just need to understand that we're stewards of these children and nothing more. So just that ability to let go. And that's so hard, you guys. I've been here for long enough that I've seen this happen. And many of you have a close relationship. Ann Pierce is the perfect example of this. I know Dave and Joan. And I know when the whole China thing came up, what the initial reaction was. And I know that as parents, their hearts were saying, no, this is our baby girl. And just being able to yield her to the Lord and seeing the fruit from that and seeing what God has done with Anne and what God has done through Anne, I cannot imagine any greater joy as a parent than that. Turning your child over to God and seeing the fruit. So once you've made those realizations, then this is the plan for us. The first thing is providing order. And, you know, Tyler talked about the world being chaotic and sinful, and it is. And God had to provide a structure and a framework for his children, and we have to do the same thing. And that's not popular, you guys. Society does not enjoy structure and order. Society does not like being commanded. The word command has such a nasty connotation. It's, don't you tell me what to do. Who are you to tell me what to do? And that's immediately what people think when they hear the word command. And so, as I was looking through scripture and reading this, I looked at the Strong's, and the definition for command was appoint, bid, or give a charge. And it was, to me, those are very military terms, appoint, bid, or give a charge. So I started thinking about it. And what command does is brings order. Can you guys imagine a battle? And going into battle, and the general's like, "Yeah, whatever, guys, just do whatever you want." Yeah, I don't know. Go on. I mean, really, how successful would that be? Not at all. There's no way that you can expect success when you've got the "well, just do whatever" attitude. So the plan for us is bringing order and bringing structure, and a big thing that society is going to tell people is, well, your kids need to be happy and you need to be your kid's friend. And that is so untrue, because our place is not to ensure that our kids are always happy or to be their friend. They've got plenty of people around them to be their friend, but our place is to bring that order and bring that structure. We have to be willing to provide that structure if we're going to lead them to the Lord. And referring to Abraham, who God chose to father the nations, in Genesis 18:19, it says, For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. God knew Abraham's heart, that he would command his children and his household after him. And then the second portion of the plan is setting a standard of obedience. And for us, it's very important that our children know that there is protection in obedience, and that there is blessing in that, and that there are consequences for disobedience. And a lot of times it probably seems extreme to people, because we are very much of the parenting school of thought that they'll go skin their knee doing something that they were not told. And our first reaction is not, oh, goodness, are you okay? It's, I'm sorry that you chose not to obey. This is the consequence. Now let's go take care of it. But our children have to understand that there are consequences to their decisions, and that we require things of them, and that we ask them to obey to protect them. And it's the same thing with God's word and obeying his commands and doing the things that the Lord asks of us. So just like we have to set order, we need to set the standard for them as far as obedience by our own behavior. Whether it's our kids or any other discipleship relationship, we need to set the standard for them by the way that we behave. They need to see us walking. They need to see the things that we're doing, and they need to see our obedience. And I was really glad that Tom began by focusing on the parents, because that's really where God brought me as far as this plan is concerned. It's laid out in Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 9. If you guys have your Bibles, you could turn there. It says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So the way this lays out, and the way that what I was referring to as far as Tom saying with the parents, the first thing that I see here is establishing where the authority lies in verse 2. It says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. So Moses is saying here, don't try and change the source of the authority. It's God's word. Don't mess with it. So we need to understand where the authority comes from. And then secondly, learning the statutes and judgments. And that pertains to us as parents. We have to learn something before we can teach it to anyone else. And then in verse 6, we see where it says to keep and do them. Keep, therefore, and do them. So we learn, and then we have to do. And our children are going to so much more do what they see than what they hear. And if we are not living a very alive and real faith in front of them, how can we expect them to get to that destination? If we want our children to be in God's word and to value God's word, they better see us in God's word, reading it, studying it, loving it, having a real relationship with it. If we want our children to have a living relationship with Christ, we need to have a living relationship with Christ. We need to glorify God in all that we do. If it's a good situation, we glorify the Lord. If it's a bad situation, we glorify the Lord. And they need to see that all the time. It has to be real to them. And if we want our children to grow up to be disciples of Christ, they have to see us being a true disciple of Christ. And then in verse 9, it says, teach them. So once we've prepared ourselves by understanding where the authority comes from and by learning and keeping and doing ourselves, then we're to teach them. And it says, you know, we're forgetful hearers, guys. And this verse says it right here. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So we have to make the word of God a priority in our children's lives by teaching it to them. We have to be diligent about that and intentional about that. We can't assume that they're Sunday school verse list is going to be enough to sustain them in the word of God any more than we can assume that coming here and getting fed on a Sunday and a Wednesday is going to be enough to sustain ourselves in the word of God. And we can't expect them to perform to a standard that they're not aware of. So if we are not instilling the word of God in them in an intentional way, we can't expect them to get to that destination, and we can't expect them to live a godly life because they don't know any better. They're committing sins in ignorance, and we're allowing it because we're not teaching them the word. So that's our plan. Like Tyler said, we are by no means perfect in implementing it, but that's where we're at with our family, and thank you, guys.
Hold on, sit there. I just wanted to say one thing, and then you can have it, bro. Sorry. I've got a keeper, don't I? Amen. Praise the Lord. The adversary hates this right here, and he wants to divide us. He wants to destroy our marriage. He wants to destroy our kids, and if we would, men specifically, speaking to you, you got to fight for your family, and you got to get in the trenches, and you can't tap out, and you can't forsake what's on the line, because if you tap out, there's a lot at stake there, and it's not easy to stay in the trench and fight, but you got to fight, and you got to keep fighting even when you don't feel like fighting, and most of that's done on your face before the Lord, praying. And if you're not praying for your family, you need to do that. Those that pray together stay together, and we believe in that strongly, and we as a family, we pray together a lot, individually with our children, with one another. And that's where the battle is won, is on your face before the Lord, asking him to forgive us when we mess up, because we do a lot, and we get back up, and we keep fighting. So I just wanted to say that too, because we can have victory, and the devil is a punk. That's what I say, and that's what I stick with, and I will for the rest of my life. And at the end of the day, we know where his destination is. So he doesn't need to be the head of the house. Let's let Jesus do that work. So, Tom, thanks, bro.
All right. Let's. Thanks. I appreciate it. If you don't know, Tyler works in some serious construction and steel and concrete, and I believe he's got a spiritual spine of concrete and steel also. So he's has a good solid family, and I wanted them to share with you their plan. Because they're really just kind of getting started. I guess their oldest is 10, but so to have a plan for family long term is a big thing. You got to start early. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this and get going on this second part of it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for families, parents, and their children. And I thank you for giving us a plan. Your scripture to guide us and direct us to put that plan together. I thank you for the Holy Spirit guiding us through your word. I thank you for the truth, the absolute surety that's in your truth, and that we can bank on that. We can take that to the bank, and we thank you so much for that. Lord, we know that we have the victory. We know that we're more than conquerors. We know that you've already given us the victory. We know that you give us life. So, Father, we just pray that we grab onto that and run with it. So, Lord, as we look at this tonight, I pray that you speak to us, that you guide us through your truth, that your Holy Spirit speaks through me, and just remove me out of the road. And I pray that we hear what you have for us, and that you draw us closer to you, because that's what we need, is to be closer to you. So we love you and praise you, and we'll give you the honor for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so on we're going to start the second part of this, and this is preparing. The last part was preparing the parents. So tonight we're going to talk about preparing the child for the mission, and because that's really what it's about. It's about taking the child that God gives to us to steward, to shepherd, if you will, and put them in the mission field, Anne. It is our job to take our children, the children of God, His children, and prepare them for the mission that God has for them. The thing is, we really don't know the specific mission that God has for a child. We don't know where he's going to take them. We don't know who they're going to marry, if they're going to marry. We don't know all the circumstances of their life. But what we do have to do is we have to get them solid and ground in the Word of God so that they are ready for anything that they run into. And that's what we have to do. So look at, go back to Genesis 21. We'll pick up with Abraham in Genesis 21. Last week we looked at, I believe it's Genesis 17, and so we'll go to the second stage here with Abraham, and this is where Isaac is born. And I won't read all this. We'll come back and we'll hit on a few of them as we go. But we'll start off with verse 1. It says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken unto him." One thing about this that you come away with these two verses is that God is faithful. If God's going to say something, he's going to do it. Three times in those two verses it says that God had spoken. He did to Sarah what he had said. It says that he had, as he had spoken, and it was in the time which he had spoken into Abraham. And so there's those things about God that we take away from his word, that he is a faithful God. And we can believe, and as Christians, we say this, we say we believe, especially in this church, we believe every single word that God has right here. We believe that this is the inspired word of God. We believe that that man has not corrupted this word. This is God's word, and every word of God is perfect. I believe that. I really do. I don't. And this isn't a KJV advertisement or anything, but I believe that every single letter in this Bible that I hold is correct. This is the way God wanted it. This is the way God has preserved it. And He gave it to me. And it's absolute truth. Absolute truth. This is how we run our life. This is how we run a church. This is how we find to be a good wife. This is how we find to be a good husband. This is how we find to raise our children right here. This is it. God is faithful. But there's one question. We believe it, but do we do it? That's the question. Do we do it? That's where faith comes in, isn't it? We can believe it, but if we don't do it, because faith is a substance, according to Hebrews 11. Faith is a substance. So God is faithful. Let's look at this. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. God is faithful, and He is the faithful author. Hebrews 13, verse 4. I have a feeling that we're not going to get as far as we wanted to tonight, but that's all right. Hebrews 13, 4. It says this, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He is the author of His word. He is faithful and He is true. And it is clear here that God will judge. It says that God will judge. It goes on to say this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is faithful. And you can take that to the bank on this endeavor to raise your children. And if we do it the way God tells us to, He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be there every step of the way along this path of raising our children, this course that we have set for Him. If we will just believe Him at His word. You know, it says in where they were fishing. And He says, at Thy word, I will let down the net. I don't know, God. This is the way we've always done it, that we've been doing it this way. But at Your word, we'll do it this way. And it was fruitful. We have to do the way God tells us to do. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The whole world, all of your friends, everybody may leave us. But God won't. God will be there. You can take that to the bank. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Not only is He the faithful author of the book, it is a faithful word. It is a faithful word that He gives to us. 2 Peter chapter 1. Because Abraham believed Him. And it was faith. It was Abraham's faith. And it was counted to him for faith. He believed God's word, and we have the same word. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well. Ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. We have that sure word of prophecy. Then it goes on to say that we do well if we take heed to it. It's God's word. He is faithful. He never leaves us, and He gives us the faithful word, and He tells us, children, you will do well if you take heed to it. That's the question. Do we believe it, but do we take heed to it? Do we really bank our life on it? Do we? Because it's a dark place. Do we do what God's word says? You know, in the it talks about how the wise man, he heard the word, and he built his house on the rock. He heard the word and he did the word. That was the wise man. The foolish man heard the word, but he didn't do the word. That's the difference. We hear, both of them heard, but only one did. As parents, do we hear the word and do it? That's the question. That's what it all comes down to in the plan. Do we do the word of God? And he has a faithful course. Look at Psalms 37. Psalms 37. He is a faithful author, he has a faithful word, and he has a faithful course for us. Psalms 37. Now, there's two words here in Psalms 37, and it's the word fret. Okay? It starts off in verse 1, and it ends in verse 7. And we're just going to look in what it says about in between these two words, fret. It says, fret not thyself. Okay, that's starting in verse 1, and we'll just walk down through this. And I want to show you seven things that God tells us about in this course, this faithful course, if we'll just trust him. It says, fret not yourselves because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and as the green herb. Now, we don't have to worry about that. As parents, Jen was talking about this. As parents, the world tells us how to raise our children. And often we will take the advice of the world over, as Christians, we do this. We will take the advice of the world on how to raise our kids over the advice of God's word. But that's not what we're to do. We're to take God's advice, God's truth, God's plan. And so here we go with verse 3. Here's seven things that we need to do as parents. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. So when the whole world, they have all the riches, they have all this stuff that the world can offer, the Bible says in verse 3, trust in the Lord, number 2, and do good. The first one is to trust. The second one is that we are to do good. We are to do good according to God's word. Number 3, go down to verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Parents, when things are going bad with your children, we need to be delighted in the Lord. Not the situation of life. Life will throw us a lot of curveballs. But we need to be delighted in God. Delighted in what God is doing in our life. Delighted what God is doing in the lives of our children. Delighted what God is doing in the life of our church. We need to look on the positive side. Be delighted. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Number 4 is in verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. This path that we set our children on, this course, the course that we chart, for 18 years, okay, real practically, for 18 years, we take God's word and we say, we're going to invest this in our children. We're going to invest this in our grandchildren. And you know, today in America, there are more grandparents raising their grandchildren than ever before. Grandparents are parents in a lot of cases. In a lot of cases. And so from day one, when this child comes home, we believe that if we just take God's word and we invest it with that plan and we put it into action, that God will do what he said he's going to do. But there are times that you're like, why is this child so rebellious? Why is there so much pushback from these kids? But here's what it says in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass in his time. in his time. He shall bring it to pass. Not you, not me. But we have to commit our ways to the Lord. The ways of raising the children. And we'll get to that in a little bit. And then number 6 is in verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And number 7 is, and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Like Jen was talking about putting a square peg in a round hole, or vice versa, or however that works. All the kids are different. Same parents, same environment, and the kids turn out different. And so as a parent, if you try to treat your children the same, discipline them the same, put them on the same path, you're going to have some real heartache with that. It's waiting on the Lord patiently and resting in him. Let him do the work in the children. Because he's the one that formed them. He's the one that has the plan for them. All we have to do is raise them the way he told us to. Okay, so let's go on. Everything is based on truth. And so, you don't have to turn over here. In Psalms 25:5, it says, lead me in thy truth and teach me. Everything about raising children, everything about life is based on truth. Okay. Turn over to Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We'll be in verse 12. While you're there, you can stay there, and I want to share something with you about this. I'm going to read this verse to you, and then we'll get to Deuteronomy. It says, this is talking about Abraham. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which is spoken? So shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith. See, that takes him from the believing to the doing. Being not weak in faith. He was strong in faith. He had faith. I mean, they were old. And he wasn't weak in faith. And so this goes beyond having the child. It goes beyond having children. It's having a grabbing onto that vision that God has for your child. See, when we start to grab onto that God gave us this child for this vision, right? He gave us this child for a purpose. He has a very specific a purpose for this child that he gave to you. Every child that we have three. God has a purpose for them in their life. Everybody here that's had children or that's going to have children, God has a specific purpose for that child. Your job is to grab on to what God has for that child and prepare them for that race. That's your job. That's my job. So it goes beyond just having children. It goes beyond really this world. It's a vision for God's kingdom. How is this child going to impact God's kingdom? Abraham in Hebrews 11 said that he is sojourning through here. He is just sojourning. He's just passing through this world. That's all he was doing. And so for his children that he had, he was implanting that vision into them. Look, Isaac, you're just passing through. Don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. It's a kingdom vision. It's about executing our life to line up with God's plan. So Abraham, this faith that he had, it wasn't just the kids. He had to execute his life, like Jen and Tyler Tyler and Jen was talking about. They execute their life to line up with God's plan. Is it your plan? Is it my plan? Or is it God's plan? How does your life line up tonight with what you're doing? Are you kingdom focused? on God's vision? Am I kingdom focused on God's vision about raising children? But along with that, are we executing our life according to God's plan? Or is it our plan about raising children? And you could put that to every aspect of life, but since we're talking about raising kids, that's what we'll focus on. Okay, Deuteronomy 10. Let's see. Verse 12. God's plan. So God is faithful, and this is God's plan. Now, God's plan, there's some things about God's plan we're going to look at. Now, if Israel, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What does he require of Israel? What does he require of parents? What does he require of his children? Well, here's what he requires. Right there in verse 12. Fear. But to fear the Lord. Fathers, mothers, teach your children how to fear the Lord. Respect, not fear of getting struck down by lightning. That's we don't operate out of fear like that, but respect. Teach your children how to fear the Lord. They're only going to learn to fear, respect the Lord if you do. If the Word says it, you do it. The Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's respect. That's loving the Lord. Teach your children how to fear the Lord. Number two, fear the Lord thy God to walk in all his ways. So you respect him and you walk in some of his ways. No. No, that's the way we want to think. It says walk in all of his ways. We respect him, we walk in all of his ways, and we love him. We love him. That's number three. We love God with all of our heart. We teach our children to love God with all of our heart. We have to do that. If we don't love God with all of our heart, and we don't teach our children to love God with all of our heart, do you think your school systems, do you think the world, who's going to teach them to love God if you don't? Who's going to do it? Oh, well, maybe the neighbor next door, they're Christians and they go to church and so we'll let them do it. But they've got their own kids. They'll try. Your children, my children, they need to see us respect God. They need to see us walk with God. They need to see us love God. And then the fourth thing is they need to see us serve the Lord thy God. When we're in the ministry, when we're going on mission trips, we need to take our children with us. Fathers, we need to teach our children, especially our boys, teach them how to serve God with a humble heart. They need to see that. They need to see that. And we'll look at mothers and fathers and their roles here in a little bit. And number five, the last thing in this part, is to, what he requires is to keep the commandments. Keep the commandments of the Lord. Those are five things that God requires right up front of our life and what we're to teach our children. Respect, to walk, to love, to serve, and to keep. So tonight, if we just left right here, we could just ask that question. As parents or grandparents, are we doing that? Does our children see us respecting God, walking with God, loving God, serving God, and keeping everything that His Word says? That's huge. But that's what God requires. That's what it says. Thy God requires of thee. That's serious. Now let's go on down to the next verse. Let's look at verse 14. It says, behold, the heaven and the heaven of the heavens, there's a lot of heavens there, at least three, Okay. In the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. That's God's dominion. And every, it says all, that makes you and your children part of God's dominion. That makes me and you God's. That means that He is the Lord. He is over everything. So if you just follow that reasoning, that He is over the heaven and the heaven and the heavens, and everything that's in the earth is His, that's you and that's me, then exactly, so this is really the question I have to ask about this. Exactly what are we doing when we don't do what God's telling us to do? What gives us the right to, do you know that man is the only thing, well, outside of the devils, but out of God's creation, man is the only thing that rebels against God? Think about a rock. I love this illustration. If you take a rock, and God made the rocks, and He takes the rock, and He puts the rock in the bottom, the most bottom, lowest place, crevice in the ocean. And He tells the rock, He's like, rock, I want you to stay there. Just stay there. When He made it, He goes, I'll use you someday, but for now, you just stay there. You know what? That rock stays there. And I know what you're saying. You're just like, well, it's a rock. It doesn't get up and move around. But if you take a person, and you say, train up your child the way they should go. The next thing you know, we've got all kinds of psychiatrists and psychologists and philosophy about the world telling us how, oh, I like that idea better. And we rebel against God and we do it the way the world tells us to. Or it says, serve the Lord your God. Well, I've got to go to a football game. No, I want you to go on a mission trip. Well, I can't go on a mission trip. I got something else to do. What exactly is it that gives us the right not to obey our God as Christians? I'm not really sure. God's love. Next verse, God's love. 15. Only the Lord hath delighted in the fathers to love them. God loves us. He has dominion, and God loves us in verse 15. Verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. He has called us. He has called us out. He has called us to be circumcised. He has called us to be set apart. He has called us to be saved. He has called us to be His children. And we need to do that with our children. We need to set them up. We need to teach them what God requires. We need to teach them that they are in His domain. We need to teach them that He loves them. We need to teach them that He is calling them out of this world and to Himself. And then the last thing in verse 18, it says to execute judgment of the fatherless and widows, and to love the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. God will provide everything you need for this vision that you have, this course that you're on. God will provide everything. Now, go back to Genesis 21, verse 3, and we'll look at another section here in Abraham about possessing the child. He's going to possess the child. Genesis 21, verse 3. Possessing the child. God is faithful. God has a plan. And we just looked at that. And now we're going to look at Abraham possessing the child in verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare, to him Isaac. So he gets to name him Isaac. And the reason I want to talk about possessing the child, and I don't want to say owning the child, that's a little stiff, but taking responsibility for the child, taking stewardship of the child, taking the full gravity of raising this child to himself, he gets to name the child. Now, there's some things about naming in the Bible. I don't want to get hung up on this, but I just want to kind of speak to this real briefly. Adam got to name the animals. And after the fall of man, Adam got to name the woman. He called her Eve, the mother of all living. God renames man. He renamed Jacob to Israel. He renamed Abram to Abraham. And he renamed us from sinners, heathen, if you will, to the sons of God, lowercase s in John 1. And so he gets this opportunity to name his son. He takes full responsibility of raising him. And God puts Isaac in this family, a design. And God designed the family. And we're going to talk about the family design. We're going to talk about the fathers and the mothers and the children. And I don't think we'll get through that, but we'll see where we go. He has this, God instituted the family. This is one of God's things that he put together from the very beginning was the family. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. This is where God puts the family into place or gets it started. Sets the design for it, if you will. The problem is when we step out of God's design, we have some problems, some serious problems usually. In Genesis 1, 26, it says, "And God said," I love when it does that, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, into every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female. So God creates the man. Now this is the family. This is God's design. He created the man and the woman. Both of them. He created both of them. And we won't go into, you know, the whole thing with that. But he is the one that came up with the man and the woman, and that's where they started. That was the design of the family. And God gave this family a purpose. Now, we've talked about the child having a purpose, and we've talked about the family having a vision. But the truth, to build on that, is that the family, your family, has a purpose. It is not an accident that you're married to who you're married to. It is not an accident that you have the family structure that you have. Now, I will say this. Sometimes families look a little odd. And sometimes they get a little sideways. But God has a purpose and a plan for the family. The question is this. As the family, are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we fulfilling the purpose that God has called your specific family, the man, the woman, and the children? Are you fulfilling what God has called you to do? That is a serious question. I don't want to scare you with this, but you will have to answer for that someday. I will have to answer for that someday. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, right? The Bema seat. When you stand there, you kneel there, when you're flat on your face there, when I'm there, when I'm flat on my face there, I will have to answer, I'm assuming. Tom, what did you do with the family? This was the purpose And this was where you were supposed to end up, and you ended up over here. You was 15 degrees off target. What happened? I have a lot of excuses while I'm on the planet, but I have a real sneaky suspicion that when I'm before the Almighty God, that I'm not going to have any excuses. There is no excuse. Yes, Lord, I was 15 degrees off. What happened? What happened, Tom? Why didn't you obey and do what I required? God designed the family. He has His purpose. Verse 28, there in Genesis, it says this. Verse 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful. Be fruitful. In the physical sense, that's a lot of fun. Spiritually, because that's what we are, we're spiritual creatures, that becomes a little more difficult. Our family, our children, we're supposed to bear fruit, not just have 5 or 6 physical kids running around, but like Tyler and Jen were talking about, spiritual fruit in those children that God gave to us. We better make sure that these children are becoming children of God, that they are getting saved, that we're getting the Word of God into their precious little souls. Above everything else, take the phone and the computer and throw it in the trash and give them a Bible. Make sure if they go kicking and screaming every night to bed because you took away their phone and their whatever they've got and you made them read the Bible, great. They need the Word of God. That's what they need. They may want a lot of other things, but they need the Word of God. If you're going to be fruitful, it says, and multiply. See, here's the thing about the plan, about multiplication. It's you and your spouse, your husband or wife, however which whoever's here, and then it's the other side of that coin. So it's your spouse, and then you have 5 children, or however many children you have. And then what happens after that is they grow up and you put into their mind and their little hearts the fear of the Lord to walk with them, serve Him, and keep His commandments and that He loves them. And then they go out and they have children and they bring their children up in the admonition of the Lord. And all of a sudden and they have 5 kids. Now you got 25 kids running around. That's multiplication. Spiritual multiplication, because that's what's important here. And replenish the earth and subdue it. Have control of this thing. Have control of your kids. Have control of the situation that your family, the environment. That's one of the things that Tyler was really hitting on, was the environment that they create for their children to grow up in is key. It's a place where they can trust their parents. It's a place where they can come to their children and communicate with them. They create an environment so these children can grow up in the Lord. An environment is something that the parents have to create for them. One last thing, and then we'll wrap this up tonight. Look at turn over to John 15:16. John 15:16, we'll just close her up here. This is talking about your purpose, possessing the child and how Abraham called him and how this family design is put together. And in Abraham, he has this family design, and him and Sarah had been, they'd had a lot of time to work on the design of the family and get everything in place, but they didn't have any kids until now. And so this was the fruitful and multiplying part. But in John 15:16, it says this, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, bring forth Isaac, bring forth your children, that and that your fruit should remain. See, God wants your children, my children, your fruit, my fruit. He wants it to remain. He doesn't want it to fade off the scene. He doesn't want it to get swept away with every wind of doctrine. He wants the children to be solid and anchored in His Word and His truth. So it'll withstand the testing and the trials of this world. He wants the fruit to remain. We need to take this as we shepherd our children, as we steward their lives, as we possess them, like and name them. We got to name them, so we need to take responsibility for raising them. And we'll look at the mothers and fathers next week and that whole thing. But listen, it is if we believe this, if it says that He has ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit and that our fruit should remain. If I want our children to remain solid in the Lord throughout their whole life and they bring forth fruit, we have to take God's word and invest it seriously into their life today. We have to. It is about God's kingdom. It is about His plan for the universe. It's about His plan for your life. It's about His plan for your children. And I'll say this just one more time. But we have to grab on to that and take it serious that God has given us these children to raise up for His purpose. We have to grab that. We have to realize that this isn't about just getting them to 18 and seeing them go off and get a job. And yes, they go get a job. But the overarching, the most important thing to come away with about raising children, setting the course is for the kingdom. Remember, we were going from Jacksonville to the Rock of Gibraltar. The Rock of Gibraltar is the kingdom. How are our children going to impact the kingdom of God? That's eternal. How is God going to use them to impact His kingdom for eternity? Are we as parents, are we preparing them for that journey? That is critical to grab onto. Because if we're anything short of that, then we haven't set the target for where they're going. We have to come to grips with, these are God's children, they're going on God's mission, and I'm just the teacher. I'm the trainer. I'm the conduit, the vessel that God's going to use to train His children to be the next pastor, to be the next missionary, to be the next mother, to be the next father, to be the next wife or husband that doesn't get rattled and shaken by the world, that can withstand all the devastation that goes on around us. We have to train our children that way. All right, well, I'm over. Let's pray and then we'll wrap it up. If you let's do that. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for tonight.